They were a motley collection, a mixture of the weak seeking protection, the ambitious seeking some shared glory, and the thuggish gravitating toward a leader who could show them more refined forms of cruelty. Welcome to the Basic Cinephile Podcast, Season 1, Harry Potter. This week, we are bringing to you something a little bit different. This week, we're going to do a deep dive into the Death Eaters.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're coming from the Goblet of Fire, and Voldemort is just returned, and we have the Death Eaters return to Voldemort.
And, yeah, we've got a lot of things to discuss. I am your host, Ziana.
And I'm your other host, Adelia.
And this podcast contains spoilers. So if you are a fan of Harry Potter, you've probably read the books and you've probably seen the movies. But in case you haven't, you've been warned. And we're going to discuss anything and everything about the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're diving into the Death Eaters.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I learned in my deep dive is that there's so much more to learn. So this is just like kind of a little bit of a backstory of how the Death Eaters came to be and who they are, who they're related to, and all that jazz.
I'm excited to go down the rabbit hole with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So as we know, Tom Riddle went to school at Hogwarts, and when they're looking into the Pensieve and they're at the Slug Club, you see that he is kind of surrounded by his group of faithful Slytherin, you know, comrades there. And it's been told that he started having them call him Voldemort while in school, which is kind of crazy.
Cause this kid started young. Like, he was straight up evil before he even graduated.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, because he'd already opened the Chamber of Secrets and released a basilisk onto campus and killed Moaning Myrtle.
Yeah, and then later goes on to kill his father and his grandfather and, like, the whole fam, both sides. It's like,
right? I mean, this is kind of unrelated, but, like, Lord Voldemort, obviously evil, but, like, Tom Riddle, before he even becomes Lord Voldemort, evil in his own right as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, starting out from, like, being just a little kid and he's, like, kind of just tormenting people, you see that psychological aspect that he has. But, I mean, also on the flip side of that, he is someone who commands respect, and those people, like Dumbledore said in the quote before, it gets those people who are weak and, you know, just kind of want to latch onto that. And then we have those that are ambitious, who see, like, this guy is going to the top, he is not going to stop at anything, and I want to get in on the ground level.
Yeah.
And then we have just the people who like pain for the sake of pain.
Yeah. I mean, the most dangerous people in the world are attractive. You know, they've got that kind of magnetic personality. And Tom Riddle definitely had that.
Yeah. I mean, we said in a previous episode, Tom Riddle in the Chamber of Secrets. I mean, I might have become a Death Eater too.
Yeah, he was using those good looks for
evil. Yes, he was. So while he's in school, he has that crew of Slytherins and maybe a few other students. We don't fully know if there's any other house affiliations that come and seek him out. But we do know that he has, like, about five very faithful Slytherins that are in his group. And that he is not the oldest of them, but is definitely the most respected.
Okay.
So it is said that they started going by the name of the Knights of Walpurgis, Knights with, like, a K, you know, while they were at school. And this is likely a play on the Walpurgis Night, which celebrates St. Walpurgis, St. Walpurga, who was a English Christian missionary who went to Germany. And she was known for battling pests and rabies and whooping cough, and mainly, she was battling witchcraft.
Okay.
And so this Night of Walpurgis is a night where legend has it that witches and demons gather. And so it's kind of got this notoriety around it of, like...
Interesting.
Yeah, this, wait, like, so darkness.
Is this real?
Or... This is real.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. I didn't know about it until...
Oh, that's why I had to ask.
Yeah. So we've already got kind of, like, this sinister...
Okay.
...group. And they're later to become the Death Eaters, mm-hmm. but we don't know that yet. So... The ones that are mentioned in the books, we have Avery, sorry, and none of these have, like, first names to them.
Okay.
So we have Avery, Lestrange, Rossier, Mulciber, and Knott.
And so, those are all part of the Sacred 28, yeah. correct?
Okay. Yeah, I believe so.
So if you heard, I don't remember which episode we discussed this in, but there is something called the Sacred 28 in the Harry Potter universe, and those are basically 28 purebred families, pure blood families,
same thing.
Pure blood families that are considered to be, like, kind of this elite pure blood group,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's a little controversial, and so a lot of the Death Eaters and those that chose to follow Voldemort are from those Sacred 28 families.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap between mm-hmm. that pure blood and Death Eater.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're so intermarried. You see this later on of all those who become followers of Voldemort and become yeah. Death Eaters. So we have Avery the First, who is most likely the father of Avery the Second, who is the one who is the first to fall at the feet of Lord Voldemort when he returns into his body.
Okay.
And is, like, pleading with him. Clearly, the second one, at least, is a little bit of the weaker spirit, yeah. you know, long for the ride, wants to, you know, get in on the good side.
Mm-hmm. Shows up immediately and then just grovels.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, man.
And
I should have looked for you, but...
And does not have Lucius Malfoy's arrogance, who, you know, also didn't stand up for the Dark Lord, also shows up and sees him for the first time in that graveyard scene in the Goblet of Fire. But he stands tall.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not groveling.
Yeah.
Even though on the inside, you know he's terrified.
Yeah. But he's kind of like a used car salesman. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to spin this as in... I gained more power, so then when you return, there's more influence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was doing. Not trying to further my own, like, gains.
For here. Sure, and he kind of plays it smart because Lord Voldemort basically gets pissed at Avery. Like, how dare you grovel at my feet? Like, none of you came to find me, and now you're going to put on this big display that you're so happy that I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know that it's been 13 years or... Like more than 15, that at this point. 15 years, you didn't look for me.
Yeah, you didn't do it.
And so he gets mad at Avery, and then he kind of moves on a little bit. So that was well played, Lucius Malfoy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well played.
So we have that connection already.
Okay.
You know, we've got a father-son situation. Mm-hmm. And then next we have Lestrange, who is also likely the father of Rodolphus and Rabastin Lestrange.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we get Bellatrix in there as mm-hmm. well. But he was part of the original crew.
Sorry, does Bellatrix, she marries into the Lestrange? That's not her maiden name?
Yeah, she's Bellatrix Black. So she is cousins with Sirius.
Right. Okay, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And Narcissa is her sister, which is...
So she's a Black, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I kind of forgot about that connection.
Yeah, these family lines, I mean, when you marry only pureblood people... They get real intermingled, real fast.
It's an incestuous group. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sketch.
Okay. So we've got the Lestranges.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Rossier,
mm-hmm.
who is likely the father of Evan Rossier, who, you know, if you've seen the Goblet of Fire movie, you know, you have Igor Karkaroff, Rossier, and they're like, he's dead. So, You can't turn this guy in. He's already gone.
Right.
He took some chunks out of Mad-Eye Moody, but Moody took him down.
Right. That was when Karkaroff was in front of the council.
Wizengamot.
Yes. Wizengamot. And he's trying to turn and hand over some people. He's mm-hmm. singing like
he's
a canary.
He's naming names.
Mm-hmm.
Sure mm-hmm. is.
You love to see it. And yeah, Rossier, it's like... Too late on that one.
Yeah. Dunzo. And then the next one, we have Mulciber, who is likely the father of Mulciber the second.
That would make sense.
Yeah. But then again, you have all these families with these overlapping names. So maybe it's an uncle, maybe cut.
Who knows?
We don't know. But there was one that was old, and then there's one that's younger. And,
you know what?
You know, families.
We're going to take the leap.
Yeah.
And just infer that, yeah, that's probably,
mm-hmm.
probably them.
And then we have the last one, which is Not. Mm-hmm. And Not actually shows up at the graveyard. Mm-hmm. It is the same one. He went to school with Voldemort. The man shows up. Yeah, he's through and through Death Eater.
Okay.
All that jazz. And he is also part of the Sacred 28. And he has a son that is at school with Harry and Draco and Hermione and Ron.
Okay, he's an older father.
Yeah, he's an older father. He waited a while. Him and his wife had a child named Theodore. And he ends up raising Theodore on his own because his wife dies.
Oh, that's sad.
And you find out later that Theodore is one of the only students, aside from Harry and Luna, who is able to see Thestrals.
Oh, okay.
So you have that kind of connection there, mm-hmm. which I thought was super interesting. And so then we get to Voldemort's return in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes around and it kind of seems like he has, like, assigned spots for, you know, his group.
Right. Because he uses the dark mark on Wormtail's arm to, like, summon everyone to the graveyard. Yeah. And they show up and mm-hmm. they stand in this circle. And yeah, it seems like there's assigned seats because he's kind of like, he clearly immediately knows, like, who's missing.
Yeah.
Based on which spots are empty.
Yeah. So he immediately has Avery, who falls to the ground, and he's like, get up. I don't want to hear your excuses. Yeah. And then Peter Pettigrew, Wormtail, is like, oh my gosh, I came and found you. And he's like, you just did it because you were scared. Not really looking to give you so many props. And then he gets to Lucius Malfoy, who, as we discussed, really sells himself. He's like, oh, I'm very mm-hmm. sorry about, you know, mm-hmm. not doing more, but I did do all this other stuff.
Yeah. Arrogant AF.
Sure was. And then he says this is the spot where the Lestranges would be
mm-hmm.
and that they're going to get, you know, mad props when we break them out of Azkaban.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that would be Bellatrix, who is Bellatrix Black, cousin mm-hmm. of Sirius, and Rodolphus Lestrange, her husband, and his brother, Rabastian Lestrange. So that would be the three Lestranges.
Okay. And they're kind of like elite level Death Eaters. Like mm-hmm. Voldy's favorites / his real favorite.
Yeah. Well, they're like diehards. I mean, they're the mm-hmm. ones that tortured Alice and
mm-hmm.
Frank Longbottom. And so they were willing to go down hard and not sell out the Dark Lord. And it said that Bellatrix married Rodolphus purely to keep that blood status going. And there really wasn't, like, any kind of, like, love connection there.
That
there's a little, like, wink, wink. Bellatrix is in love with Voldemort. Which, I mean, she is a woman who likes power and mm-hmm. darkness. Mm-hmm. And no one's got that like Voldy.
This is true.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, this is kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but do you think they're his actual favorites, or do you think his secret spy is his favorite Death Eater, a.k.a. Severus Snape?
Severus Snape. I think that Voldemort likes Snape because he kind of, like, plays, like, the long game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's smart and conniving. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a little bit more of a respect for Snape than the others. Because he did he's gone against Voldemort before.
Yeah.
And also, like, has brought a lot of very good information to him.
Yeah.
So he's not just out here doing whatever for the sake of doing whatever.
I see that as Snape being the most respected of the Death Eaters. And then I think with the Lestranges, there is a respect there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not Wormtail where there's no respect, but he you know, everybody loves to be loved and everyone loves a person that's just going to do whatever they want them to do. So it seems like the Lestranges are kind of the perfect mix between a Wormtail and Snape, where it's like there's a respect there because they are intelligent, they are strategic, they have done like things that Lord Voldemort really appreciates, but then also like they're just pure fangirl energy.
Oh yeah.
They love Voldy. They are all in. And like Snape doesn't kiss butt like that.
Yeah, he doesn't really.
Okay.
Yeah.
But do we agree that those are kind of like those are the top dogs within the circle? Like those are the ones Voldy tends to favor?
I think so. And also Lucius gets some favoritism for sure.
Lucius is higher up the food chain, definitely.
But Lucius is like really
got his eye on
Sacred
Lucius.
28. Like very, yeah, he doesn't fully trust him, but he is going to use those connections in ways that it's like, I can't necessarily sit on these councils and stuff like that, but you can.
Yeah.
And people are going to, you know, go for what you say because you have that sway and you also have a lot of money.
I think there might be a little bit of unspoken jealousy there.
Yeah.
Like Lucius Malfoy is who Voldemort wishes he could have been, like as a human. I mean, he definitely doesn't want to trade places with him now. He's Lord Voldemort and he's pretty pumped about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, the pure blood status, the huge collection of like dark artifacts. And we know that Voldemort is all about like the history and the collection of these objects.
Yeah.
And so it seems kind of like, yeah, he likes having Lucius in his corner because of those factors that he thinks are really cool, like the status symbols.
I totally agree with that. That's that's a good take. But I think in the same way that Voldemort chose to go after Harry, the half, you know, half and half, rather than Neville, who is pure blood.
Yeah.
We get Snape, who's half.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit more respect
there.
A little
more respect, yeah.
But the jealousy of that pure blood.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that like half, like it kind of gave him a chip on his shoulder. And kind of expects that from other people too, that they, like, they're going to want to prove themselves, that they're going to.
Very interesting. Yeah, those are three very prominent, important figures within the series who all, they're catalysts, if that makes sense. Like, they're not just people who have things happen to them, but they're also people who make some of the biggest decisions within the storyline. And they're all half-blood.
Yeah.
I never thought about that before.
Neither had I. Talking things out, yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome to our half-blood episode.
Yeah. That'll be another time.
That'll be another time.
Just going along, so we have McNair. McNair, you might recognize his name because he's the one who's sent to kill Buckbeak. He's like the executioner. He's got this job at the ministry. He also got out of it because he said he was in under the Imperius curse, you know, all that. And he's just an enforcer.
I was gonna say he gives me the like, yeah, you're the guy who gets sent to whack a guy.
Yeah, you got a guy who got a guy.
Who's got a guy.
Yeah, yeah. That's McNair.
Okay, that's McNair.
And then we have Crabbe and Goyle, you know. Got the
Sacred 28.
Yeah, getting the whole crew to it. You know, we got the Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle round one. And then we have it happening at the school.
2.0 at the school.
Seriously. And then Knott, as I said, was at the graveyard. And he was original follower of Voldemort back in the day, back when he was Tom Riddle.
This is the only guy who like didn't let the stress of the lifestyle get to him.
Yeah, seriously.
He outlived everyone else.
Yeah, way to go, man.
Ate that heart healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, he was one of those who was at with Tom Riddle when he goes to Hogwarts to interview as the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. He's goes to Hogsmeade with him and is like, yo, you got this.
So they're like, as much as Voldemort has ever had a friend, this is probably the closest thing that he has to that.
Yeah, because we don't know about the other ones, whether they're, you know, dead or alive. Yeah. But it sounds like they're probably, they didn't make it, you know.
Yeah.
They're old. they don't have a ton of Horcruxes, keeping them alive out there.
Yeah.
The age gets to you.
It really does. The years start coming and they don't stop coming.
They don't stop coming, Zianna. And then we are told that there are six remaining that are not there.
The unaccounted for.
The unaccounted for. That three are dead. One is too cowardly to return. One, I fear, left me forever. And one faithful who returned. Who is at the school right now. And we know that is Barty Crouch Jr. You know, he's faithful. He's at the school. He's set it up for Harry to, you know, get to the graveyard. And then one that left me forever.
Karkaroff?
I think that that's Snape. I think that he fears that Snape left him for real and
in
went to
that. Okay, in that moment, yeah, because he didn't.
Snape hasn't been back yet, yeah.
Okay.
And he doesn't know, yeah, that Snape's, like, playing it, again, long game of, like, I can't just return to you right now and have them think that I am part of the Order of the Phoenix or, like, giving you intel. I can't do that. I gotta lead this double life.
Yeah. Okay, but don't you think he would have known, like, that he would know that? I would assume that, like, him, the one who's at the school, would be Snape.
Well,
it seems like he fully trusts him.
But it's specific in the book of, like, he organized Harry's, you know, Harry coming here tonight.
Okay.
And so, for that, I feel like that's got to be Barty Crouch Jr., you know?
Okay.
Like, that's too specific.
Okay.
And then we have one too cowardly to return, and that is Igor Karkaroff, because he sees the dark mark and he just flees. He's not going back to the graveyard. He's not standing his ground. Oh. He is gone.
He is out, and you don't know where he's going, but like he's trying to get as far away as possible.
Yeah, and he's not gonna get very far.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting though, the way that it's phrased, that Voldemort is like, oh, he's too cowardly to return. And if you were to ask Karkaroff, I think he would say, like, he's not too cowardly to return. He's making a very calculated decision to not return because he doesn't want to.
He sold too many people.
Yeah, I get the impression that he, you know, he's done being a Death Eater. He burned all of his bridges and he's out. I don't get this like, oh, I'm too scared to return. I get this like, I am scared and I am also not returning.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's mainly scared because he was scared going into Azkaban and didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So that's a cowardly route of like, I'm going to sell everyone out.
I see.
And don't get me wrong. I am the first one that would say, do not make me an accomplice in a crime because I will sing like a canary. I will save myself. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind.
No.
You want names? I'll name them.
I'll name them all.
Yeah.
I got way too much anxiety to protect anyone else.
It wouldn't even be something that, like, is a conscious decision. It's just that I would feel so bad and be like, oh my gosh, I should probably still go to jail for all this time, but, like, you should know these things. I should give you this information so you can, you know, fix it.
Okay, yeah. No, you would be the absolute worst accomplice in a crime, that is for sure, because you panic and then you would just overshare. You would tell all kinds of details that no one would ever be able to find out, and you'd just be like, well, let me tell you everything.
I feel too guilty.
Zero out of 10 Death Eater right here.
Yeah.
Voldemort would be very upset. Poor performance reviews all around.
Yeah, I am not joining the Death Eaters, and I also like don't know if I would be able to join the Order because that would also be scary.
I think that'd be different, though. You'd have a cause that you're fighting for.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'll have to ponder that
TBD.
One a little
I
bit
I think
more.
You would be an awful criminal, and I think you would be a fantastic protector of justice.
Well, thank you. Thank you. getting back on track.
Back to the Death Eaters.
Back to the Death Eaters. We got three that are dead.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Evan Rossier, who fought to the death. And he was dueling Mad-Eye Moody. And Mad-Eye, it says that Evan took a chunk of his nose out while they were, like, dueling.
Yeah.
And eventually did go down. And this is said to be, like, a year or so before the fall of Voldemort.
You get the impression that he was a pretty formidable opponent.
Yeah.
Like, just the in passing, the way that Mad-Eye kind of phrases it is like a, yeah, I got him, but like, poof, he got a chunk of me first. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm telling the tale, but like...
It was touch and go there for a minute. Yeah.
Back.
Yeah. And then I'm guessing on some of these other ones.
Okay.
So we have Regulus Black, who...
Yes.
Who was a Death Eater. We know that.
And we know that he's dead.
And we know that he's dead. And he joined when he was 16. He got the Dark Mark.
Yeah.
And his family was super supportive of that. And then...
He got caught up in the hype. He was basically the previous generation's Draco Malfoy, I feel like.
Yeah.
Where he just kind of got drafted into it. His family's into it. He probably saw the... He probably saw it as something kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then, like, Draco. Then, like, Draco, he got into it and realized, like, ooh, this isn't great.
Yeah.
This is a little more hardcore than I was picturing. And I'm kind of a jerk, but
yeah,
this is a little extreme.
And you see that in the, it's going to be Half-Blood Prince, right? That he kind of, he leaves the Death Eaters.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to Voldemort and literally everyone else, because Voldemort enlists him to bring his house elf creature along to set up the Horcrux in the cave.
Yeah.
And so to test it out, Voldemort does it on creature.
Yep.
And Regulus is pissed.
Yeah.
This is my house elf. This is my guy. Like, creature is obviously got some faults to him.
Mm-hmm.
But creature and Regulus had a really good rapport.
Yeah.
And I was loaning you this house elf. And he somehow got out, and I found out about it, and now I'm really frustrated about this.
Yeah.
I draw the line at this. I am your faithful. Why are you not returning the respect there?
Yep. And, I mean, we have to give Regulus some credit because, I mean, with the comparison that I just drew between him and Draco Malfoy, Malfoy, you know, kind of panics and doesn't end up killing Dumbledore, but it's not out of this, like, I'm going to make some great moral stand. It's this, like, I panicked and this is really scary and I can't do it kind of a thing. And then later on, he does end up helping Lord Voldemort big time by, like, helping them, helping smuggle a bunch of Death Eaters into Hogwarts. And Regulus actually makes a stand and leaves, you know, the Death Eaters, and he also kind of sabotages.
Yeah.
So, like, props to Regulus. Like, he might have done some bad stuff, but he also did some really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's brave. He's got a pretty big backbone, which Draco Malfoy never had.
Yeah. He's leaving in the height of Voldemort's, you know, reign. And
knowing that, like, this isn't going to end well for me, but I also might be able to do something where it doesn't end well for you.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna do it.
I see what you're doing and I'm not okay with it. And I might as well. And I'm going to leave either way. Like, I already don't like what you're doing. I might as well sabotage you. I might as well start taking you down now. And he does.
The whole Black family, honestly, is pretty brave. Like, Sirius, for obvious reasons, a very brave guy. And then also Bellatrix and Narcissa.
Yeah.
Like, they are smart and they make moves and they have conviction.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And I mean, by extension, you have Tonks as well, who is part of, you know, she's not technically Black, but like her mom was siblings with Narcissa.
Okay, so yeah, the Black family though, like they're a family of like tough.
Yeah, they are very tough. They are people who
fight for their convictions, even if their convictions are pretty messed up.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one who I am guessing is one of the dead is Wilkes.
Okay.
And Wilkes was a member of the Gang of Slytherins that went to school with Snape. Mm-hmm. And so, like Snape and Avery and Mulciber and Rossier and Wilkes all were friends with Snape and, you know, running around Hogwarts making bad decisions.
Okay.
And it said that he was caught by Aurors and was killed while attempting to avoid being imprisoned in Azkaban.
Okay.
So he went out fighting, and I feel like, you know,
that's the way to do it. You don't want to go to Azkaban.
No, you do not. And, like, I don't want to wait it out in Azkaban. And also, I don't want to flip either because, like, that's scary too.
Yeah,
because
then even if Karkaroff, like, yeah, he's alive and but he's had to live his whole life in fear.
Yeah.
So you got out, but you didn't get out. And
yeah,
as an anxious person, that would tear me up.
Oh, for sure. Always looking over your shoulder. I'm not going to have a good time with that.
No, no,
no.
The ulcers would be very real.
Mm, for real. And then we just have, those are the ones that are like mentioned.
Okay.
But then we have a lot of others who are part of the Death Eater community.
Mm-hmm.
And I found some interesting stuff that I didn't know about. Maybe it was mentioned, but I just totally forgot about it.
Okay. But
so we have Mulciber is in Azkaban.
Okay.
Mulciber the second. And then we have Antonio Dolohov. And he is in Azkaban and he escapes with Bellatrix and that whole crew out of Azkaban.
Okay.
And he is known for like being someone who like tortured a lot of people, killed a lot of people.
Okay.
And I found out that he killed Molly Weasley's brothers, both of them.
Ooh. Okay.
And that they went down really hard. And so that is one where Mad-Eye Moody is talking about the Pruitts.
Mm-hmm.
So Molly's mm-hmm. maiden name is Pruitt.
Okay.
The Pruitts, and he says, it took 5 Death Eaters to take down the 2 of them.
Wow. Okay.
So these are people who fought really hard for a really long time to not get taken down or to take down more Death Eaters.
And for Mad-Eye Moody to make any type of comment like that about, like, you know, took 5 to take him down. Like, if Mad-Eye Moody respects you,
that's saying something.
That's kind of like the Siskel and Ebert 2 thumbs up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like the toughest guy says you're tough. Like, that means something.
It really does. Mm-hmm. That is the stamp of approval that you want to hear.
I'm Mad-Eye Moody and I approve this message.
Yes. And later he goes on to kill Lupin. And that just breaks my heart that this guy is out here just slaying all these people that are just awesome. And
yeah, what the heck, man? Why you gotta be so rude?
Seriously, that's their theme song.
Honestly.
Why you gotta be so rude?
I know, like, we're getting into the later books. The next book that we're gonna do is The Order of the Phoenix. And I honestly, like, I forget how a lot of the series ends. Like, I remember all of the big major points, but especially that last battle at the end, it's like, I know that a lot of people died, and I remember who some of the people were that died, but I don't remember all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm honestly, like, kind of scared because, like, it's gonna be sad.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who get, like, super injured or die or, mm-hmm. like, mauled. They're like never the same again.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people who are going to be seeing Thestrals. Like, it's just
sucks.
It sucks. And yeah, I'm not looking forward to that, but I am looking forward to recognizing more names because I feel like there's a lot of them that come out, and you have like the Karos
mm-hmm.
that are teaching at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And Yaxley is at a table, and like there mm-hmm. there are a lot of people that I didn't necessarily recognize first time around, or like they may have been alluded to in prior books but never like fully.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like Lucius Malfoy.
Yeah,
you know who that is because he's an established character the whole time.
Yeah, he's had a lot of airtime so far.
Yeah,
but some of these other names, yeah, you kind of recognize them but you're like, wait, who are they?
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of them, it's because they were taken out. You know, they're mm-hmm. in Azkaban, so it's like they're not active participants right now.
Yeah.
Because they were such active participants back in the day that they're not able to, like, get a second chance right now.
Yeah, for sure. Should we take a break to hear from our sponsors real quick?
Yeah.
Hello there, my fellow basic cinephile fan. Jeremy Hirschkorn of Jet Movement Academy here, In my experience as a gym owner and trainer, I've seen the world start to change. You'll need new strategies to keep your health in top condition. That's why I'm offering Jet Online. This is a complete training and coaching package available wherever you have internet access. Go to jetmovement.com to sign up today or contact me at jeremy@jetmovement.com. Wishing you happy listening and amazing health. Keep moving.
Change the game just now. I have a rave.
These are the best ideas I've ever heard.
I'm
saying that that's the commentary that will exist.
A Barbie girl in a Barbie world.
It's defiled Mickey Mouse.
Oh my god!
Listen to new episodes weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
So those are like the established Death Eaters that we're coming into the fifth book with.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of talked about this off air a little bit, but I thought there were more Death Eaters.
Yeah, I really thought that there would be like a significant number of them. But just to have them return to the graveyard, it's something in like 15, 16.
Yeah, it's not that many. It's like, in your mind, you think, okay, the Death Eaters, it's like Voldemort's group, and they're wreaking all this havoc and like killing all these people and making everyone else live in fear. And it's just, I don't know, in my mind, I was like, well, there's got to be at least like 100 or hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And then I realizing like I had absolutely no basis for that number that I had come up with and what I was imagining, because like it never says that there's just like ton of Death Eaters.
No, but like,
but I just
they
always
wreaked so much havoc.
Yes, the amount of fear that they were able to cause and the amount of horrible things that they were able to do is like grossly impressive for such a small group of people.
It's a small group of people, but then you know that like the giants are gonna be become a part of it. You've got the Dementors, you've got, there were some goblin alliances back in the day. You know,
werewolves. And I do need to walk back a comment that I made on a previous episode. So I don't remember why I was talking about this, but I said something along the lines of like Fenrir Greyback was hot or like attractive in some way. And Edie laughed at me and I was like, what? Like, I know he's kind of weird looking, but like he was kind of hot. And then after we wrapped that episode, I went and Googled Fenrir Greyback, and that's not who I was picturing. So he's a werewolf and he looks not human in the slightest. And that is just not who I was picturing at all. And now I'm going to blank on his stinking name. But the guy that I was picturing is the one who was from, would be Deathly Hallows Part 2. Because
yeah,
it's when they're like apparating around, like it's Harry, Ron, Hermione, they've got the Horcrux, and they're hiding out in the
out
tent,
and
they're
yeah,
hiding. And at one point there's the Snatchers.
Yeah, and so they're like right on the other side of that like invisibility thing, and they're like sniffing
and
them out.
And he smells Hermione's perfume, and it's that guy. And I was like, that's the guy I meant. So he was kind of hot, and he's not actually hot. He's got some weird looking like Shakespearean puffy shirt. It's the puffy shirt from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And then he's got like Bret Michaels eyeliner on, and then like this long hair that's kind of in like a Founding Fathers low pony.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe. I don't think he's hot, but like I bet you anything that there are people who think he's hot. You know? Like I don't see it, but I could see it.
I mean, Bellatrix thinks that Voldemort's hot, so, and the man has no nose.
But I just need to clarify that not Fenrir Greyback. Not at all.
I think you were talking about how Lupin, like, looks like he's, like, way older, and he should only be, like, 35 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, he just doesn't look great, and there's the other werewolf, and he looks good, so
yeah,
he's kind of hot, so why can't Lupin have this hotness to him?
Let me see if I can find it real quick. Werewolf, Snatcher. Let's see what Google has for us.
Brrr.
God only knows what this is gonna pull up. Snatchers. Harry Potter. Scabier? Scabier? S-C-A-B-I-O-R. I'm gonna go with Scabier.
I hope it's not scabbier. I feel like I, you know, he scraped my knee. I got scabbier.
Say, scabbier should be like a mummy or a zombie or something like that. Okay.
But okay. Scabier.
Scabier.
Has an old Shakespearean shirt. That's what scabbier has.
He does. And maybe someone thinks he saw it. He's got like if you're into LARPing and you're like, God, that guy's hot, and he's LARPing, like maybe you're into scabier.
That could be. Yeah, he's got a strong look to him. Fenrir kind of has like a Billy from Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
So like he's probably been dead for a couple hundred years. And now you're, you know, have your mouth sewn shut and you're trying to chase after children.
Yes.
It's so a maybe vibe. Maybe it's the same.
It's a vibe. But Fenrir Greyback straight up looks kind of more like an animal. Mm-hmm. And that's just a whole other issue.
Well, because didn't he figure out how to like be a werewolf more
time? I think he's like a full-time werewolf.
Yeah.
He's one of those people that's like, being a human sucks. I'm going to be a werewolf all the time.
Yeah. One night a year? No. Or not a year, a month. There's one full moon a year.
The moon only comes out once a year. Science.
I would really fail astronomy.
Oh my God.
That wouldn't be my subject from what I just said.
Wow, sorry. I hijacked the convo and really took us off the rails here, but yeah.
Well, technically, I don't know if he's like Death Eater, Death
he's
Eater,
not
though,
a Death
because
Eater.
Because he's a half-breed.
I was going to say, yeah, so I guess the core group of Death Eaters is actually quite small, but Voldemort's following is actually pretty sizable. Yeah, when you mentioned like all of the giants and the Dementors and these different alliances he has. And then also there's other people who are his followers, but they're not deemed like worthy enough to become Death Eaters. And I read on Harry Potter Wiki that Peter Pettigrew even was like, he made it into the Death Eaters, but it was like by the skin of his teeth.
Mm.
And Voldemort was like, okay, you've done a lot for me, but you're so dumb and so not good at things. But I can't really not repay you delivering the Potters to me. So I guess I'll make you a Death Eater. But then, basically, he's like the lowest man on the totem pole within the Death Eaters. And everyone kind of treated him like a serpent. So not even just Voldemort, because that's obvious that that's the way he treats him. But also everyone else in the Death Eaters, like, just kind of treated him like a junior level.
Well, I mean, that's the dynamic that he had with his friends.
That's what he's like, used to. So I guess he probably didn't even think it was weird.
Yeah.
He's like, thanks for letting me in the club, guys.
Yeah, I just wanted to be here.
Just happy to be here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was the inner monologue of Peter Pettigrew, ladies and gentlemen.
I heard it here first.
Yeah. But it's just like kind of crazy though. Like, I mean, you see Voldemort's core group of people like at his age, and then later on you see like there is like a very strong group of like the people who went to school with Snape. Mm-hmm. I mean, because Peter Pettigrew went to school with Snape, like Avery, Lucius Malfoy, there was like an overlap of like 1 to 2 years. Mm-hmm. So he was, I think, a prefect or head boy. And Snape really didn't have any friends. And so Lucius is nice to him and, you know, welcomes him into the fold, which eventually leads to Snape, you know.
Yeah.
Making some bad decisions.
You kind of get that impression with Snape the whole time that it's like, I mean, Snape is obviously a jerk, but at his core was never really evil, but he just like really needed that connection and a place to belong. And he found that within the Death Eaters.
Yeah. And there's a sense of protection because he's not getting any of that protection from, again, this school is not safe.
Hogwarts is not safe. Literally no part of it is safe.
Not at a single point. No single point is the school safe.
The classes aren't safe. The castle isn't safe. The sports are not safe. The people who are allowed into the castle are not safe.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, there's no stance on, like, bullying or, like, anything.
None.
Draco gets turned into a ferret by a teacher. You know, like that's some mental torment.
And McGonagall gets mad and she says, you're not allowed to do this, but that's just kind of it.
Yeah, and then it just ends.
Yeah, and when Draco's like, I'm going to tell my father about this, it's like, yeah, you should absolutely tell your father that your teachers are turning you into animals.
Yeah, and you might have been rude to the hippogriff, but, like, this hippogriff could, like, do some serious damage.
We all love Hagrid, but, like,
that was no sense of self-preservation, because he's just a gentle giant, literally. Lapse in
judgment.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Make some, you know, questionable decisions, but that's not for this episode. Apparently,
it's not.
Apparently, it just became part of this episode.
Well, you know, it did. Well, that's the Death Eaters, though.
That's the Death Eaters. Obviously, there's, you know, more to learn, more to find out, but there are lots of things that are yet to happen in the series.
We've still got a long ways to go. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We hope you're loving the Basic Cinephile podcast as much as we're loving it.
Yeah.
Please leave us a rating and subscribe. So you can now leave ratings for podcasts on Spotify. That's a new feature. So please feel free to give us a rating if you're loving the show. If you are hating the show, feel free to not listen. And please don't give us a rating.
Please don't give us a rating, but, like, maybe just be like, hey, this is what we would like to hear.
Yes,
to
feedback.
We love feedback. But
we're sensitive.
We're more of like a hype me up, please. So you can find us on Instagram at The Basic Cinephile. You can find us on Twitter at The Basic Cineph 1. That's Cinephile without the I-L-E and the number 1. You can find us at our website, TheBasicCinephile.com. Lots of fun stuff there. And on Facebook, The Basic Cinephile. And
we're on TikTok.
Yeah.
At The Basic Cinephile.
TikToking it up.
Yeah, so feel free. We are a movie review account, so we don't only post about Harry Potter. We post all kinds of movie-related content and movie reviews. And then, obviously, for this season of the Basic Cinephile podcast, since we're doing Harry Potter, we post a lot of Harry Potter content, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So we would love for you to follow along. Tell us what you're loving about the series.
And if you want a deep dive on something else, something that's really been, like, you know, on your brain, that
we're
you want
requests.
Other people to, like, search because you're like, that seems like too much work.
Yeah.
Please.
We're here for you.
Yeah. We want to do that.
We do. We really do.
Yeah, we do.
We really love a deep dive. We've got more of these deep dives coming up.
With some special guests.
They're going to be pretty cool. We're not going to tell you who they are yet, but we will tell you that they're awesome because we're friends with all of them.
Yeah. We like them.
Great people.
Yeah.
Be sure to, subscribe to the podcast. We drop new episodes every Thursday.
Sure do.
We will issue more episodes every Thursday. Yes. And so we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Bye.